Well, as I said at the beginning of this portion of the church year, I was going to be zeroing in primarily on Ephesians, and we're going to continue that today. And this section of Ephesians is well known. As I was looking at it, I realized that I had done some underlining in here at various points already and found, well, I always do, found a couple more things worth underlining and circling. And one of the things that I do, or at least try to do, week to week, is to at least get some idea of what other people are thinking about this text. It would be, well, I'm not quite sure what it would be if I thought that I could just look at the text and come here week after week and have something to say without seeking any kind of other advice or any other context. I think I'll be irresponsible, if not worse than that, if I thought that's all I needed. So I do look at things like commentaries. We have some people for whom that is their life's calling, to pay careful attention to what the text says and how we got it, and we can learn a lot from them. And every once in a while, you run across somebody who takes something that you didn't really know you were, well, troubled is way too strong a word, but something that had always sort of bothered you or had caught your attention, but you weren't really sure why, and crystallizes it for you. And so this past week, I came across something written by April Yamasaki, who I don't know at all. She was doing some reflecting on the lectionary texts from the perspective of somebody who does what I do and opens them up for other people. And what she did is she zeroed in on something that I've always found a bit of a problem, or at least a bit of a, well, even a stumbling block's too strong a word. I don't know what to call it. And it's this whole nature of lists. And we have lists in the Bible. We have lots of lists. In the Old Testament, we have lists of laws. We have Ten Commandments. When we look in the New Testament, we see lists all over the place as well. And human beings love lists. It's one of the things that we do best, because one of the things that sets human beings apart from lots of other animals, because we are an animal, we're a different kind of animal, but is our ability to recognize patterns. There's just something about the human mind that recognizes patterns, recognizes repetition. That's the source of a lot of athletic superstitions, for example. Someone will realize that, wait a second, when I did that thing and then that other thing and I wore a particular undershirt and I talked to a person, I had an especially good experience at the plate or on the playing field, whatever it might have been. And we confuse causation with a pattern. And so people then start doing this, thinking that by doing that, it will make things happen. It's just the recognition of a pattern. It does it for all of us. And lists are another kind of pattern. The internet is filled with lists. Filled with lots of other nonsense too, but it's filled with lists. You know, the 10 best this and the worst that and most interesting places to go or whatever it is. There's lists everywhere. And we like lists because lists bring order to chaos as well. Lists are extremely helpful, but they have a problem. It is beyond the ability of a list to be exhaustive. There's no such thing as an exhaustive list when it comes to the kinds of things we turn to Scripture for. Because we don't turn to Scripture for the 10 best places to go on our vacation. We turn to Scripture for how do we live our lives? How do we interact with each other? How do we relate to God? And how does God relate to us? But when we come to these places, we sometimes see these lists and think, well, they're a checklist. These are things that we need to do. And if a list has any value when it comes to things to do, it needs to cover all the things you need to do. Lists are extremely helpful. I'm certain that we will have a list of things that we need to take care of before we go on vacation. And we'll put things on there like pack prescriptions. We're unlikely to forget to pack the prescriptions. But if they're on the list and you check them off, you know you won't, because when they're in the bag, you check it off, everything's fine. Well, that list is kind of hopeless if it's missing a bunch of things. And so when we look at lists, we often impose that sense of completion, that sense of exhaustive nature upon a list. Well, that's fine with a packing list, as long as you think carefully about it and get everything on it. But the problem with looking at lists in Scripture this way is that when they're not exhaustive, they create problems. Because one of the things that a list does without intending it, when you're talking about lists of behavior, and everyone who's had children of a particular age knows all about this, a list creates loopholes. So when you have a list of things for your children to do or not do when you're gone for a few hours, I would be surprised, and whether it's your own children or somebody else's children or maybe even yourself at some point, that when you're reading off or reciting the things, you know, don't answer the phone if that's what it is, you know, don't go too far, don't do this, don't do that, that you won't get somebody who goes, oh, well, does that mean that I can do this? And the this is usually something ridiculous, like play with knives or, you know, open the refrigerator to cool off the house. You know, and you say, well, no, of course you can't do that. Well, it wasn't on the list. And sometimes you come home to find out that things that had never crossed your mind to put on the list have been done. Well, it's a loophole, and that's the problem with a list. A list is put out there as this is the sum total of everything needed. Well, not only do you have loopholes to get away with things, but there are things that you just don't even see. Things that aren't covered in the list that never cross your mind. And as such, you might miss out on something really important. If you look at the list as this is all you're going to do. When you're going on vacation, if you're a particular kind of person, and we often do this, is you make a list of things you want to do when you get to wherever you are. Well, if you somehow think this list is the sum total of things you are now allowed to do, there's a good chance you're going to miss something. And it's because we've misunderstood what a list is. A list is a tool. A useful tool. But when we look at this passage in Ephesians, it does look a lot like a list to me. Depending on the translation you're reading, you have a list of things to do that are very quite straightforward. Put off falsehood. Speak truthfully. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down. You know, all these things. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Be kind and compassionate. You have a list of things. And there's nothing wrong with that list. They're good things on that list. But if you live your life on the basis of that list and you just think that that's all there is to it, I think you might miss something. If nothing else, you miss the point that Paul's making, because Paul takes advantage of an extremely powerful word. And once again, it depends on your translation. But in the one I'm looking at right now, the New International Version, at the beginning of chapter 5, it's a strange place to put a chapter, by the way. These are very much connected. It's not a new thing at all. It's just got stuck there, once again, probably done on horseback. Be imitators of God, therefore. Therefore is a very significant and powerful word. Because what therefore does is it takes everything that went before the therefore and says, this is a consequence. This is an outcome. Because of these things, this. It's a bunch of things. It's a word that can take on a lot of nuance. And in this case, what Paul is saying, with all of these things, including being imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us. The therefore says that those things aren't the sum total of what you should do, but when you do those things, that's part of living a life of love as Christ loved us. They're examples. They're illustrations. They're saying these are the kinds of things that lead to this. It's not saying that these are the only things that lead to this, any more than it's saying if you miss one, you can't get to this. It's saying, here are all these things you should do, and therefore, because of those things, live a life of love. Because that's what Paul's about. Paul is not interested in making lists. Paul was a very bright person and knew every bit as well as anyone else that it's beyond human ability to, first of all, create an exhaustive list about how to live your life, and then it's beyond human ability to grapple with and take that list onto you. So it's just futile. So of course he's not trying to do that. Paul often tells us what to do. My own personal Bible time these days is taken up with 1 Corinthians, where Paul certainly tells that church some things that they need to do and stop doing. It's a completely different tone. It's a completely different feel than what Paul is talking about here. Paul is not saying that each of you need to do this on a daily or regular basis. He's saying these are the things that you should do. You should put off falsehood. You should speak truthfully. Yes, you should do all those things. But you don't do them just for the doing. You do them as part of being a child of God, an imitator of God even. This is one of the ways that you actually imitate God. And we all want to imitate God, and we do. In the same way that we imitate our parents, or our children imitate us. It's one of those fascinating moments when you realize that your children sound just like you. Sometimes it's an unpleasant shock they sound just like you, because, you know, not all the time do we manage to say things exactly the way we want to. But more often, we hear our children being like us in ways that we have not just told them are important, but we've modeled for them. And what's interesting is when we see our children doing things like we would without us ever telling them to do them, without giving them specific instruction that in this exact situation you act this way, but they act the way you want them to. They act the way you would because they're imitating you. I find myself imitating my father, my mother, some other people who have been important to me, have had an influence. I imitate them, and often not because I looked at their particular action or way of thinking and said, I want to be exactly like that, and then worked on it. It's just part of being in that connection. And when we are imitators of God, we're going to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. Because the purpose of the list is to get us thinking in the right direction and then saying, this is why and this is how, but not from a check it off the list perspective. I understand the attraction of lists, because a list is a nice contained moment. When you check everything off the list to get ready for your trip, then you can set your mind at ease because you have checked off everything you need. And that's great. That's a good feeling, especially when the plane's about to take off, to know that you have, in fact, packed everything and included all of your children. But life isn't quite so amenable to lists that cover the things that matter. And for some of us, that's frustrating, and for some of us, I suppose it might even be considered a problem. One of my favorite illustrations of this is the story, and I have no idea who said it or where I heard it first, but that all of us, what we want is we want a daily agenda that tells us exactly what to do. We wake up in the morning and there it is, and we know exactly who to talk to and all this. And what do we get? We get Jesus sitting on the foot of our bed saying, once upon a time. And he tells us a story. Stories aren't checklists either. Jesus could have taught by checklists. So could Paul. But they didn't, because checklists just don't work. Depending on which translation you read, you'll find things that are just about a list of things to do to have a successful Christian life. And I just think, no, stop it. It's not a list of things to do out of a successful Christian life. It's, if you're having a successful Christian life, take a look at this list. You'll be doing a lot of these things. And you should be glad about that. Not because the list is the thing, but because you are living a life of love. Because people who live a life of love are able to be angry without wallowing in it and it becoming sin. People who live a life of love don't let unwholesome talk come out of their mouth that drags people down. People who are living a life of love don't steal. We get the cart before the horse. Just because it happens to be placed that way in Scripture doesn't mean we have to do those things to get to these. Paul's saying, these are things that you should all do, and by the way, this is why. Because we want to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. Because that's what the Christian life is. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's becoming more and more like Jesus every day. And there's no checklist for that, any more than there's a checklist for becoming mature. If you want a checklist, Okay, I'll give you a checklist. The checklist is move into relationship with God through Jesus and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Check. That's the list. And now, live in love. That's the call. Not to try and find a list to check things off. Not to try and match yourself up against somebody else. Not to try and come up with an objective measure in some strange way that lets you look back on your day and just say, these are the things I did. But to live a life that at the end of the day you say, you know, I was a little bit more like Jesus today. You know what? I had chances that weren't on any list. To be unpleasant, to be unkind, to be dishonest. And I didn't do any of those. Not because I was afraid I'd get caught. Not because I was afraid someone was going to video me and put it on the internet. But because I've learned to live in love a little better now. It's not just another list. In fact, it's not a list at all. It's not a list in the sense of checking things off. It's a group of things that we can look at and say, yeah, those are good things that I'm going to work on. But not because once I've worked on them, I've achieved some particular checkbox. But because as someone who wants to live in love, I want to be the kind of person who does those things. Just like Jesus did. And that's what I want to be. Not somebody who's good at checking things off a list, much as I enjoy lists. I want people to say, you know, I think you're more like Jesus than you were before. And when I hear that, that's when I think I've accomplished something. Not the checking off a list, but when I become more like the person I want to be like. And I've learned more how to live in love. Amen.